Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? This one's all about injection molding, and we're going to get specific film gate width.
Oh, this is a good one.
It's something that a lot of people, even experienced engineers, sometimes overlook.
Yeah, they do.
And it can make or break your product. I mean, you got to get that plastic to flow into the mold perfectly, right?
Right.
That's where gate width comes in. We're talking about that little tiny opening, that doorway that the plastic squeezes through. And you wouldn't believe it.
It's pretty amazing.
But even a tiny little tweak to that can make a massive difference in your final product.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So whether you're making something tiny like a little plastic card or something huge like a car part, we've got a whole stack of sources here that we're going to use to break it all down for you. So you can nail that gate width every time.
All right, so gate width, it's kind of like a balancing act, you know?
Yeah.
You got to find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Because if it's too narrow, well, you risk the plastic not filling up the mold all the way.
Right.
Or it cools down too fast.
Yeah.
And then you get those, what are they called? Weld lines, I think?
Yeah, weld lines. Those are bad.
Yeah, like a seam. It weakens the whole thing.
Yeah.
But if you go too wide, then your mold ends up being way more complicated.
Oh, okay.
And then it costs more, and nobody wants that.
Right. Yeah. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And all of our sources seem to say that the size of your product, that's the main thing you got to consider when you're figuring out the gate width.
Oh, for sure.
So can you explain that a little bit? Why is that?
So imagine you're pouring cake batter into a pan.
Okay. Yeah.
You'd use a much wider opening for a big sheet cake than you would for a little cupcake.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's kind of the same with injection molding.
Go ahead.
Smaller products need a proportionally wider gate.
Okay.
That way you make sure that the plastic flows in nice and smooth.
Okay.
And it fills up the whole mold before it starts to cool down and harden.
And so for a tiny product, you'd need like a huge gate.
Yeah, it seems kind of counterintuitive, but that's what you need so it can fill quickly,
okay.
Especially for those little intricate designs.
Okay, so what about something bigger, like a panel for a device? Or like a housing or something.
So when you get to like medium-sized products, we're talking 50 to 200 millimeters, got to start adjusting that ratio a bit.
Okay.
So you're aiming for a gate that's between 30% and 70% of the product width.
So it's getting smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. You still need good flow, but you also got to think about how complicated the mold's going to be.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm noticing a trend here. The bigger the product gets, the smaller the gate gets. Is that how it works?
Pretty much, yeah. No. When you get to those really big products, anything over 200 millimeters, like think car parts or big appliances, stuff like that.
Okay.
You can go even narrower with the gate.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere between 20 and 50% of the product width.
Interesting.
Because with those big products, you actually want to slow down the plastic a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
So it fills consistently and prevents defects.
That's super interesting. So it's not just the size, right? I mean, there's other things you got to consider. And our sources all seem to agree that wall thickness, that's another big one that people forget about.
Yeah, wall thickness is huge.
Yeah, why is that?
Because it directly affects how quickly the plastic cools down inside the mold.
Oh, okay.
And remember, this is molten plastic we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So the cooling time, it can totally mess up the quality of your part if you're not careful.
Okay.
Like imagine you're working with a really thin-walled product.
Right.
And you try to squeeze all that plastic through a tiny little gate.
Yeah.
It's going to start to cool down.
Okay.
And harden up before it even reaches the edges of the mold.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, so you could end up with a part that's not even finished.
Yeah, or with weak spots where the plastic didn't fuse together properly.
Right, right.
We call those weld lines.
Yeah.
And they're a pretty common defect when you don't get that gate width right. And those weld lines, they can seriously weaken your product.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so walk me through how wall thickness should actually affect our decisions about gate width.
Okay, so let's break it down into categories. You got your thin-walled products. Those are anything less than 1.5 millimeters.
Okay.
Think of like a phone case, something like that.
Right.
Those thin walls. You really got to prioritize that fast filling.
Okay.
So you might need a gate that's as wide as 80% of the product width.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that wide opening lets the plastic rush in
and
fill the mold nice and evenly before it has a chance to cool.
So it's like a race against time, basically.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
Okay, now what happens when we get into the kind of the middle ground of wall thicknesses?
Okay, so medium-walled products, Those are between 1.5 and 3 millimeters.
Okay.
Those give us a little more wiggle room.
Good.
We can dial back the gate width a bit, maybe 30% to 60%.
Right.
We still need good flow, of course,
Right.
but we don't need that super wide opening.
Makes sense. Now, what about those thick-walled products? I imagine we have to like totally change our thinking for those.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
With thick-walled products, we're talking over 3 millimeters thick.
Okay.
Our goal is to slow down the flow of plastic.
Oh, that's weird. Why would you want to do that?
Think of it like pouring honey.
Okay.
You got to control the pour,
Yeah.
or you'll get air bubbles.
Oh, that's a good way to think about it. So a narrower gate would help us slow it down.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
For thick-walled products, we usually aim for a gate that's 20% to 50% of the product width.
Gotcha.
That helps make sure the plastic fills the mold gradually and evenly,
Okay.
and you don't get any air pockets that can weaken the part.
All right, so that's product size and wall thickness. Those are the two big things to think about. But let's be honest, even when you know all this stuff, mistakes happen.
Yep, they do.
What are some of the most common mistakes that even experienced engineers make when it comes to choosing the right gate width?
Well, one of the biggest ones is just not putting enough thought into the product size.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it happen so many times. You get a small product, and someone slaps a tiny little gate on it,
Oh, no.
and it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
You end up with incomplete
Uh-huh.
filling,
Yeah.
delays, frustration. It's a nightmare.
I can imagine that getting pretty expensive, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cost is a big factor here.
Of course.
And another big mistake is forgetting about wall thickness.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Choosing the wrong gate for a thin-walled product,
Right.
that can lead to a whole bunch of defective parts.
Yeah.
And those defects, they really hit your bottom line.
Ouch. So we got to remember those too. But I think there's even more to it than that. Because our sources all mention that. You can't just treat all plastics the same way.
Oh, yeah. That's another mistake people make. They think all plastics act the same, but they don't. Different plastics have like totally different flow characteristics. Some are thick and gooey,
Right.
some are thin and runny.
So you got to treat them different.
Yeah, if you ignore those differences, you're going to run into problems.
Yeah.
Warping, sink marks, uneven surfaces, all sorts of stuff.
So how do we keep track of all of this? I mean, it seems like there's a lot to think about when you're choosing the right gate width. Our sources mention these amazing mold design tools and simulations that seem like they could really help.
Oh, those tools are a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they let engineers simulate the whole injection molding process virtually
Wow.
so they can actually see how the plastic is going to flow through the mold
Wow.
based on different gate widths.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's like having X-ray vision for your mold.
So you can catch potential problems before they happen.
Exactly.
Wow.
We can pinpoint areas where the plastic might not flow, right? We
That
can see
is.
where air traps might form,
Yeah.
and we can even predict how the cooling process is going to affect the final product
Wow.
so we can tweak the design and get the best possible outcome.
So these simulations could save a lot of time and money.
Oh, tons of it.
And a lot of frustration, probably.
Yeah, less headaches for everyone.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued. These simulations sound amazing,
They are?
but I have a question.
Yeah.
Are they only for big companies? Like, are they really expensive and hard to use?
There's definitely a learning curve.
Right.
But there are tools out there for pretty much every budget
Oh.
and skill level.
Very good.
Some of the software packages are super sophisticated
Yeah.
and you need special training to use them.
Right.
But there are also more user-friendly options that are perfect for smaller businesses or even individual designers.
So you don't have to be a computer scientist to use these.
Nope, not at all.
Okay, good to know.
And the best part is these tools are getting easier to use all the time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, a lot of them have intuitive interfaces now
Yeah.
and helpful tutorials. Some even have built-in wizards that walk you through the process.
So it sounds like anybody can learn how to use these.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's awesome.
And as these tools become more accessible, I think we're going to see even more innovation in the field of injection molding.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, designers and engineers will be able to push the limits
Yeah.
of what's possible,
Yeah.
create products with incredible complexity and precision.
That's so cool. It's exciting to think about the possibilities.
Right?
But I want to go back to something you said earlier.
Sure.
You mentioned that simulations, they shouldn't replace hands-on experience and knowledge.
Right.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I think it's important to remember that simulations, they're tools.
Okay.
And like any tool,
Yeah.
they work best when they're used by someone who knows what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't want a surgeon operating on you
Yeah.
if they'd only learned anatomy from a textbook, right?
No, definitely not. I'd want someone with years of experience who really understands the human body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same with injection molding.
Oh.
Simulations can give you tons of insight, but they're most powerful when they're used by someone who understands the basics,
Right.
how materials behave, how molds are made,
Yeah.
how all the different parameters affect the final product.
So it's all about combining the power of the tools with the knowledge that comes from actual experience.
That's it, yeah. You
Okay.
need both the virtual world and the real world.
That's a great point. So we've talked about the benefits of simulations, the importance of experience, and the potential these tools have for really changing the game. But now I want to hear some specific examples.
Okay.
How are these simulations actually being used to create amazing products out there?
All right, let's dive into some case studies. So I recently came across this really cool example in the medical device industry.
Oh, cool.
This company was making this really complex component,
Okay.
super tight tolerances,
Right.
intricate geometries, thin walls.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, if they had used traditional design methods, it would have taken them months of trial and error
Oh, wow.
just to get the mold right.
Yeah.
You can imagine the pressure they were under.
Oh, yeah, especially with a medical device. It's got to be perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they used simulation software
Okay.
and they were able to model the whole injection molding process beforehand.
Oh,
They
wow.
could see exactly how the plastic would flow through the mold,
Yeah.
identify any potential problems,
Okay.
and tweak the design to make sure everything was perfect.
So they had like a roadmap to success.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And the result was amazing.
Yeah.
They got a perfect part on the first try.
Wow, no way.
No waste, no defects.
That's incredible. They save so much time and money.
Oh, yeah, tons of it.
Yeah.
And that's just one example.
Oh, wow.
I've seen simulations used to create molds for products that are mind-blowingly complex.
Really?
Yeah, parts with undercuts, internal cavities, intricate lattices, stuff that would have been impossible to make just a few years ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So these simulations, they're not just helping us make better products, they're also expanding what's even possible with injection molding.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
And I think this is just the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, as these tools keep evolving, they're going to get even more powerful
Wow.
and easier to use. We're going to see new materials,
Yeah.
new manufacturing processes, new designs, stuff we can't even imagine right now.
I'm so excited to see what the future holds. It feels like we're entering this new golden age of injection molding, where creativity and precision are like coming together in these amazing ways.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a really exciting time to be in this field.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it really
So
is.
let's get back to those mistakes. You were talking about how sometimes people pick a gate that's too small for a small product, like that electronic case,
Right.
and how simulations can actually show you that happening
Yeah.
before you even make the mold. So you can
Exactly.
avoid that whole mess.
Yep.
So it's like, a warning system.
Yeah, like a virtual warning. It
Yeah.
says, hey, watch out, your gate's too small. You're going to
Yeah.
have problems.
And then you can just fix it before it's too late.
Exactly. You can adjust that gate width and avoid all those headaches.
Okay, that's awesome. So are there any other insights that these simulations can give us that could help us avoid some of these other common mistakes?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
So remember we were talking about wall thickness and
Yeah.
how important that is? Well, simulations can help us with that too.
Okay.
They can show us exactly how the plastic's going to flow and cool down based on the different wall thicknesses in our product.
Oh, wow.
So we can adjust the gate width to make sure everything's balanced
Okay.
and we end up with a strong, consistent part.
So we can avoid those weak spots
Yeah.
and warping and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Now, what about those different types of plastic? We were talking about how you can't treat them all the same. Can simulations help us with that too?
Definitely.
Okay, good.
We can actually input the specific properties of the plastic we're using, like
Okay.
the viscosity, melt flow rate, shrinkage rate, and the simulation will show us how that particular plastic is going to behave
Oh,
during the
wow.
molding
So
process.
we can see if it's going to be too gooey
Okay.
or too runny.
Exactly.
Okay, that's amazing. So we can test all this stuff out virtually before we even make a mold.
That's the beauty of it.
Wow, it's like having a virtual lab.
It really is.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So we can experiment without wasting any plastic or any time or any money.
Exactly. You can try out different gate widths, different designs, see what works best.
And it's all risk-free.
Yep.
That's incredible. So we've talked about how simulations can help us avoid mistakes,
Yeah.
but you mentioned something else earlier. You said that they can also help us visualize things that we wouldn't be able to see otherwise.
Right, like pressure distribution.
Wait, back up. Pressure distribution, what is that?
So it's all about understanding how the plastic's flowing through the mold. If the pressure gets too high in certain areas, you can end up with defects,
Like what?
like flash or short shots.
Okay.
But with the simulation,
Yeah.
we can actually see those high pressure zones
Wow.
and we can adjust the design to prevent those problems.
Oh, cool.
So we can change the gate width,
Okay.
the location of the gate, even the shape of the mold itself.
So we're not just looking at whether the plastic will fill the mold, we're looking at how it fills the mold.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So we want it to flow smoothly and evenly.
Yep, that's the goal.
Okay. So we talked about pressure. What about temperature?
Oh, yeah, temperature's important too.
Okay.
Simulations can show us the temperature distribution inside the mold
Right.
during the cooling process, and this is really important for products that have complex shapes
Okay.
or different wall thicknesses.
Yeah, I can see how that would be tricky.
Yeah, because some areas might cool faster than others,
Right.
and that can cause warping or distortion.
So the simulation can show us those hotspots,
Yep.
and then we can adjust the mold to make sure everything cools evenly.
Exactly.
Okay, that's amazing. So with these simulations, we have so much control over the process.
We really do.
It's like we can fine-tune every little detail
Pretty much, yeah.
to make sure we get a perfect product.
That's the goal. It really is.
It's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
Just thinking about all the things around us that are made with injection molding.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like you never really think about it, all the work that goes into making even the simplest little plastic part.
It's true. There's a lot of engineering behind it,
Yeah.
a lot of know-how.
So what are you most excited about in the field right now? Like, what are some of the coolest developments you're seeing?
That's a good question. I'd say one of the most exciting areas is new materials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's been so much progress in polymer science lately. We're seeing plastics that are stronger, lighter, more durable, even more sustainable.
Oh, wow. Than ever before.
And how is that changing injection molding?
Oh, it's opening up a whole new world of possibilities.
Okay.
Like, we're seeing injection molded parts being used in applications that were just like unheard of before.
Like what?
Like aerospace components, high performance sporting goods, even medical implants.
Wow, that's incredible. So, what about 3D printing? Everyone's talking about 3D printing. Do you think it's going to replace injection molding?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I think that they both have their strengths.
Okay.
3D printing is great for prototyping and small scale production.
Okay.
But injection molding, it's still the king for
Yeah.
mass production
Okay, yeah.
when you need to make a lot of parts
Yeah.
that are all exactly the same with really high quality and
Yeah,
precision.
that makes sense. So it's
No.
not really a competition. It's more like
Yeah.
different tools for different jobs.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think we're going to see more and more hybrid approaches.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Where you might use 3D printing to make a prototype
Okay.
or even a mold.
Yeah.
And then use injection molding for the final production run.
So they can work together.
Exactly.
That's really cool. So as we wrap up our deep dive here, what are the main things you want our listeners to remember about film gate width?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is gate width is not just some minor detail.
Right.
It's a really crucial part of making high quality injection molded products.
Yeah.
And if you understand the things that affect gate width, the mistakes to avoid, and the power of these new design tools, you can get amazing results.
I love it. So remember, everyone, gate width, you got to tailor it to the size of your product and the thickness of the walls. And think about that the next time you pick up any plastic object, there's a whole world of engineering behind it. And knowing about gate width, it gives you a whole new appreciation for how complex and precise this process really is.
I totally agree.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration of the world around us.